radio play for today, Crisis, is based on the most interesting story which will appear in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. Front page dramas are produced in the studios of the General Broadcasting Company. A man stands looking out of a window in a white-walled room. His hands are clasped behind his back. His fingers clench and unclench, as though keeping pace with his thoughts as he stands lost in meditation.
Dr. Tremont. Dr. Tremont.
Huh? Oh, yes. What is it?
That's probably the hospital calling.
Oh, yes. Answer it.
Dr. Tremont's office. Just a moment, please. It's the hospital doctor. They say the patient's going into a coma. What are you going to do?
I wish I knew. Give me the phone. This is Dr. Tremont. Yes? Temperature? Pulse? Recurrent pain? What have you done? Good. Well, I can't come right now. Let Patterson take the case. Well, then, whoever he signed out to. I tell you, I can't come right now. Very well. Keep in touch with me. She's going out, I'm afraid.
But you can save her, Doctor. She won't die if you take the case.
I know it.
Then why are you delaying? I'm sorry, Doctor. I shouldn't ask that, but...
But what?
It's just that this woman's life is in your hands and you refuse to save her.
I haven't refused yet.
But you say you can't go to the hospital. We haven't any more appointments for today.
I can't go because I can't make up my mind what to do.
You know what to do, Doctor. The case requires operating, and it's your specialty.
I mean, I can't make up my mind whether to take the case or not.
Because it's a clinic case?
Oh, no. It isn't a question of speed.
I don't understand, Doctor.
I'm a specialist with a fair reputation for successful operations, am I not?
A genius in your line, Doctor.
You're biased, I'm afraid. And I am a respected surgeon in the city. Would you say that was true?
You're almost worshipped, Doctor. You know that.
Well, it wasn't always so. I'm going to tell you something which nobody else knows. I'm going to confide part of my past to you. Shortly after the war, I was an up-and-coming young medico in Paris. I'd been given the Legion of Honor for gallant conduct and had the acclaim of the people. Then I got to slumming around in the night spots. In one of them, I met Nini. Nini of the red lips and flashing eyes. She fascinated me. Night after night, I went to meet her. Then early one morning, as we sat at a table together in a corner of...
Now, come on, here, Doctor. Cheer up. Why do you look so sad?
Do I look sad?
Why, of course you do. Would I speak of it if you did not? What is the matter?
You know already, Mimi.
Oh, that.
Yes, that. Like some modern Cinderella, you leave me at the stroke of 3 a.m. Why? For whom?
Did I say there was a whom, Herr Doctor?
No, but I'm sure there must be. I can't be the only man in your life.
Well, you would not be interested in a woman who was not attracted to other men.
Oh, yes, I would, Mimi. It's you and you alone that hold my interest. I wish that I could make myself the only man in your heart.
Maybe you are the only man in my heart.
Really? Do you mean that?
Maybe.
Prove it, Mimi. Prove to me that I'm the only man for you.
How can I prove it?
Look at the time.
Sacrino, 3 minutes to three. I must...
You must disappear. Is that what you were going to say?
I suppose I was.
Don't go. That's how you can prove how much I mean to you, Mimi.
And if I go, it will prove you mean nothing to me?
Yes.
You make it very hard for me, mon cher docteur. I am very fond of you. I have never known anybody like you. Just so kind and so thoughtful and so gentle and...
Then you'll stay?
Oh, I wish I could.
But why can't you? If you're so fond of me. There is someone else.
Really?
I was afraid of that. Goodbye, Mimi.
No. Do not say goodbye, Cherie. I will be here with you again tomorrow evening.
No, Mimi. You won't be here with me. Because I shan't be here myself.
Well, shall we meet some other place next time?
No. If you leave me now... You leave me forever.
Oh, do not say that, Charlie. I do not leave you because I want to. It is because I must. There is someone who demands I come back to him each night.
Well, suppose I demand that you stay here with me.
Well, that would be different.
You'd stay with me then?
Oh, I'm sorry, but I would still have to go to him. You see, he would kill me if I failed to meet him. My man is the most feared Apache in Paris. He is called... Sleep. Oh, mon Dieu. 3 o'clock. You have kept me from my rendezvous.
Yes, I've kept you from this other man. Just as I intend keeping you for myself forever.
What The snake will be looking for me.
The snake. He has come here.
What? Where?
Do not turn around. He is walking toward us.
Oh, this is where you are, eh?
I was just leaving, Pierre.
And this is the cause of your breaking our rendezvous, is it? Why, you...
Take your hands off her. You hear?
You interfere, do you? Then take your back.
Oh, Pierre, look out, he's gone.
Now get out of here, and don't you bother me anymore.
Who are you to give orders to Pierre the snake?
Wait. Wait. Mon homme Pierre shall fight with his rival, a fair fight, and I shall belong to the winner.
Of course you won the fight, Doctor.
There was no fight. They made me give up my pistol and handed me a knife like the snakes. I saw at once what the outcome of the affair would be. So I struck a bargain with the villain and bought Mimi from him.
And then?
Well, because of the time I spent in the underworld dives and because of my criminal associations, my practice dwindled and fell off to almost nothing. But poverty and love didn't seem to suit the beautiful Mimi.
Well, did you raise some more money?
Money. Money, money. That's all you seem to think about. It's all you ever talk about.
And why not? It's the most important thing in the world.
What about our love for each other?
Love? And your kind of love? Give me clothes and hats and jewels? I think not. I never looked like this when Pierre was my man.
Stop talking about that scoundrel. Oh, Mimi. What has happened to us? Here we are quarreling and fighting again.
There would be no quarrels, mon cher, if you had enough money to give me.
Where in heaven's name can I get any? My practice has gone to the dogs. I've swindled jewelers and storekeepers until the police are on my trail. Where am I to raise any money?
It is nothing to me where you get the money, so long as you get it.
Mimi!
Well, it's true. I cannot go about these streets looking like a rag bag. Why can't you earn some more from the Nervi?
Turn another girl over for ransom?
Oui. They're always willing to pay for a young and pretty victim.
No. No, I can't do that. The public is still up in arms over the disappearance of Mansell Duval. Answer it, Mimi. Find out who it is before you let them know I'm here.
Hello? Who is calling? I will see if he's in. Wait, please. It is Armand Porteau.
All right. Find out what he wants.
Hello, Monsieur Porteau. The doctor is very busy at the moment and asked me to take a message. Ah, you are making your round and I'm nearby? And wish to have something to brace you up?
Tell him to come along.
The doctor will see you. In 5 minutes? Very well. Au revoir.
He must be having another of his heart attacks. I'll fix up the digitalis hypodermic and have it ready for him when he comes.
Armand Porteau is a paymaster, is he not?
Of course, you know he is. Hand me that bottle, please.
Here you are. He's a paymaster and he's making his rounds.
Not this bottle. This is aconite, a deadly poison. That other bottle is the digitalis.
Oh, this one?
Yes. Would have been too bad if I hadn't noticed which bottle you handed me.
Here you are.
Thanks. I'll get this ready, and then I must have a look at that specimen in the laboratory.
I don't believe you heard a word I said.
What did you say?
I said Monsieur Porteau was a paymaster and was making his rounds.
Well?
Are you really so stupid, or do you not want to see the point?
Are you trying to suggest I might rob him?
Huh. You do see the point.
Don't be silly, Mimi. Porteau is an old friend. I wouldn't do that to him.
One little shot of that stuff in the other bottle, and he would never know anything more.
Mimi, stop. I can't. I won't do that.
Oh, do not be a fool. He must have several thousand francs with him. Think what we could do with that much money. Clothes, seats, and wine.
No, I won't do it, I tell you.
You have 1 minute or two to think it over, mon cher.
I've thought it over already. I tell you, I won't do it.
Oh, but it is so easy.
That makes no difference.
He is here. Now you work quickly. Change the hypodermic from digitalis to the aconite.
What kind of a fool do you take me for?
Hurry.
No, I won't do it. Answer the door, Mimi, and ask Porteau to sit down and rest a few minutes. I'll just glance at that specimen and then treat him. Go ahead. Let him in.
All right.
Just a moment longer, mon ami. I will welcome you in just a moment.
Amy, what are you doing? Answer the door.
Now then.
I'm going, Sherry. Ah, come in with you, Foxo. We are waiting for you.
Merci.
Right this way.
Merci.
Right this way.
Go on, Doctor. What happened? Did she kill the paymaster?
Well, when I came back from the laboratory, Mimi was alone. She told me Porto said he couldn't wait and had to leave immediately when he found I was busy.
Oh, I thought she might have given him the poisoned hypodermic.
I found out sometime later that that's exactly what she did.
You mean Mimi confessed?
No, Mimi disappeared that night. I never saw or heard of her again.
Then how...
Well, a few days before, I'd given orders to redecorate the place and to paper over an empty closet, which we never used. Mimi had hidden Porto's body in that closet.
And they sealed the closet up?
Yes. Porto was lost to the world for a time. But finally, the body was revealed by the natural result of decomposition. And I was arrested and tried for murder.
But you were innocent.
Yes. But the prosecution built up an airtight case. And the finding of the body in my quarters convicted me. I was first sentenced to be guillotined. Then that was changed to life imprisonment. Devil's Island. Ah, what a torment that was.
Then you escaped.
Yes.
Oh, that must have been a great feeling, to be free again, Doctor.
Freedom was even worse than imprisonment. We sailed in a leaking boat for 21 days, burned by the sun, parched from lack of water, starving from lack of food.
Oh, how terrible. But what happened to the woman, Mimi?
Mimi. For those terrible years she cost me, I swore each day that if I ever came across her, I'd kill her.
I can't say that I blame you for feeling that way. You've never found track of her since.
Yes, I have.
Where, Doctor?
Mimi is the patient in question.
Oh.
The woman whose life is in my hands.
No.
Now you know why I say I don't know what to do.
What a situation. Your personal feelings at war with your professional duty.
Yes. You see, the doctor is facing a crisis as well as the patient.
Oh, but Doctor, you've done so much good here. You've wiped out your debt to society. You mustn't falter. You must keep up the good work.
But she gave me the worst years of my life. She ruined me. Made me a convict, an outcast.
That's in the past now, Doctor. The past doesn't matter. It's what the future holds that matters. Letting this woman die won't give you back those years. That's the hospital again, probably.
Answer it.
Dr. Tremont's office. Just a moment, please. It's the hospital, Doctor.
Give me the phone.
Here you are. What are you going to do, Doctor?
This is Dr. Tremont speaking. Prepare the patient for immediate operation. I'll be right over.
You save her.
Yes.
Thank God, Doctor.
Thank you.
Be sure to read the details of the amazing experience of a physician which appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. This fascinating story will appear under the title Extraordinary Career of a Doctor, who was a hero, then a murderous scoundrel, and now a hero again. This is Wentworth announcing and turning the microphone over to your own announcer. Radio play, Penthouse Rendezvous, is based on a most unusual story which will appear in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. Front page dramas are produced in the studios of the General Broadcasting Company. In order to introduce our characters in this little drama, we are going to present them in the atmosphere and background to which they are accustomed. First, there is Muggsy Day, a small shot racketeer. To get a glimpse of him, you'll have to come with us to the elite bowling emporium. And now let's see. Muggsy ought to be somewhere around. He's always here at this time of the evening. Oh, there he is, in that phone booth.
I said I'm coming up. Now, listen, Mamie. This is Muggsy Day talking. I said I'm coming up, see? Why not? Oh, yeah? Well, ain't that just too ducky? Well, I'm coming up just the same, see, and you and me is going to talk this thing up. What's that? Hello? Hello, Mamie. Hello? Why, the... Hang up on me, Lucy. Hey, Lucy.
What you want?
Come here.
Wait a second. I got another plane coming up.
I said come here.
Oh, all right. Gee, Monty. All I needed was another strike and I do.
All right, all right. Save it for tomorrow night. Got your iron with you?
Sure. Say, what's up?
Me and you's going to a little do of persuasion, see, uptown in a certain penthouse. Now, come on, fella.
And on the station platform of the elevated train, a man is trying to get a number from the pay telephone.
Operator. Operator. Hello, operator. I'm trying to get Jerome 710,000. I know I could dial that number direct. I've been dialing that number direct for 10 years already. But in this time, it don't work. And there is my nickel. Sure, I heard it go in the machine with a kaplunk. Then another nickel it took to get you on the wire. Hi there, Albert.